Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The message title today is Truth or Consequences. You know, it's one thing to live a lie. It's another thing to get caught. And if you're living a lie and you don't get caught, we think, well, the truth is important, but if you don't get caught, there's really no consequences, so you can just go. But when there is truth, and then there are consequences, or there are lies, and then there are consequences, it wakes everybody up and makes us think of things maybe we didn't think of before. Let me give you some reassuring fact going into this today. The truth always wins in the end. The truth always wins in the end. And I don't care how bad you've been maligned, I don't care who's lied and said what about you somewhere, sometime, the truth in the end will win. Because the truth is not a thing. The truth is a person. And I'll get to this at the end, but Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Truth is a person. And if you've ever wondered, there are, in a city like Dallas, wherever you go, in America at least, usually you can find a Bible study, you can find a church, and somebody will hold up the book and they'll read it. And you will get truth. You'll get information. And there is a difference in factual truth and living truth. Okay? Now let me explain this to you if I can. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So you have the Word. This is the Word. But guys, this isn't just the Word. The Word is a person. He spoke this. Now, if you have the book, and I'm not going to do anything weird here, but guys, I'm going to tell you what, I could start a fire with this book. I could tear the pages out here, use it as kindling, and get a good fire going. It's paper with ink on it. Now, these words mixed with Jesus' life change things. But these words, some of you guys have a Bible in your house. You've had one for 50 years maybe, and it hadn't changed your house or your life. Now, you've got truth in your house, but you don't have applied truth to your life. And there is something about taking what the book says and mixing it with the life of Jesus Christ, that chemical, if there is such a thing as a spiritual chemical reaction, it's combustible. And when you take truth and His life and put them together, your life's going to change. I'm hearing a lot of things going on in this room that cannot be attributed to religious ceremonial experience. People are reading the book, discovering what it says, and accepting and receiving and allowing the life of Christ to come in and live in and through them. And you mix truth in that life, and you have real life, abundant and eternal life. What is the truth about your life? What is really going on in your heart, in your life, in your home, in your head? What is it that when you get quiet long enough in a room like this without the distractions of work, family, stress, financial stuff, whatever you've got going on, when you just sit there and you think for a minute, what is the truth about who you really are, what you really struggle with, what you really face every day? What is it that you're lying to God about? What is it you're lying to yourself about? And what is it you're lying to other people about? Now, if you take it in that order, if you stop lying to God, you usually stop lying to yourself. And if you stop lying to God and yourself, you're going to stop lying to other people. If you lie to other people, you're probably not going to tell the truth to yourself about stuff. And if you're not doing that, you're not going to get honest with God. Now, what is really going on? What the heck is it in your life that's going to eat your lunch till the day you die until you say, you know what, mirror? This is the truth. And I got a problem with this, and until I deal with this and I get honest with God, myself, and somebody else, I've had someone sit down with me and a little fidgety, a little nervous about it, look me in the eyes, up and down, and finally, and I won't give you details, but this person said, you know what? And they were breathing deep and putting their hands down and breathing deep and trying to get the words out. And finally, the gist of it was, I'm struggling with some sexual issues in my life, and I'm getting clobbered in this area sexually. And you know why I hit on that one so much? Because it'd probably be in the top one, two, or three of everybody in the room's list. You say, oh, well, that exempts me. I'm married. Well, good luck. I don't care if you're married, single, or 70 or 80 years old. It's one of those deals that doesn't go away. Now, guys, let me tell you something. You can say, well, everybody's doing it, and that makes it okay. You know what? That's a lie. That's a lie. And the devil will come along and say, you know what? Don't worry about that. It feels good. Do it. Everybody's doing it. Let's justify this thing. And you just say, okay, I'll go with it. But you know what? You can't lie to your heart. And the Bible talks about don't lie against the truth. Don't say something is not true when it's true. Don't call a lie. And this is not about sex. This isn't about sleeping around. We're not going to get off on all this stuff. Because frankly, guys, if you don't have a new life, if you don't have a relationship with God, trying to not sleep around is not your problem. Your problem is going to be you're going to die and be separated from God forever. That's a problem. Now, there are consequences. This week, we were somewhere, and she was in a restroom and came out and told me a story about a girl who's in the restroom and was talking to a friend of hers, and this was the gist of the conversation. Well, I'm with this guy tonight. I just met him. And she said, I'm going out of town with a boyfriend of mine this week on a trip, but I'm just going to sleep with this guy tonight. I don't know how to tell him no, and I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. It's just sex. And that's a bathroom conversation. You know, I thought they just went in there and put makeup on. There's a whole lot more going on there than I thought. You know, what's going on in the bathroom? This girl is making a decision to join her body to another human being that maybe she met right there that night. I watched it unfold, and in fact, three or four of us huddled up in this place and prayed for the girl that she'd make the right decision and not put one more nail in her coffin. The guilt, the shame, the stuff that comes with that. Guys, it just doesn't work. And you say, but it feels good for a little while, and if I do it again, it'll keep feeling it. But guys, it doesn't keep going. There is no long-term joy and peace living a lie. Now, how do you get over this stuff? Whatever it is that you're lying about or lying against the truth about, what do? You say, you know what, God? Enough's enough. I've screwed up enough years of my life. I am not going to live this way, and I'm not going to die this way. Whatever it is that you've got an issue with, you and God. And then you say to yourself, self, I've talked to God, now I'm talking to you. We are not going to live this way anymore. And then you say, but God, you know and I know that I can't make it on my own, so I'm going to sit down with these people I've been lying to that love me, and I'm going to look them in the eye and say, I got a problem with this, and I need your help. Why do you think there's groups like AA or rehabs in places where people sit down and say, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a sex addict, I'm a whatever you are, I'm a thief, I'm a liar. You know, there aren't any like Liars Anonymous, I guess, because people would say they've been to the group and you wouldn't know whether to believe them or not. But I promise you, unless your life is just on all cylinders today and that's possible, everybody in this room has got some issue and you're getting destroyed with it. You're stealing from work, you're lying to them about something, you're cheating on a spouse. I mean, we've all got stuff. All right, let me start with this. Where do the lies begin? Listen to John 8. John 8, verse 44. You, and he's talking here to some religious guys. Yeah, they loved him. Jesus talking here. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is the father of lies. Every time I sin or you sin, you know what? You're deceived. You're lied to. The devil says, okay, here's the deal. Get all cranked up and we're going to do this. We're going to have a great time. And he works you. He sells you on some. He cons you over me, over and over every day. He says, okay, we're going to do this. It's going to be great. And he never lets you see what? The consequences to your actions. And you get sucked into this lie. You know, if you got conned, if somebody came to your house and said, we're going to put bars on your windows, it's going to cost you $10,000, and you gave them the money and they never showed up. If a guy came back the next day and tried to sell you bars for your windows, you'd say, I've already got some, I haven't seen, no thank you. But day after day, we get deceived, we get conned by this enemy. And we buy it over and over, and the consequences are always the same. Listen to some of these consequences. Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper. And if you go look up the word prosper, it means it isn't going to work out, guys. You say, well, I didn't come to church to hear something about sin and all this stuff. Don't be messing with my life. Let me tell you something. If I don't mess with your life, you don't have any reason to come back. I mean, what else is there? If I'm not encouraging you and challenging you to change your life and using Scripture to do it, why are you even here? Don't get up early, go to some place some night, listen to music. You can sing at a karaoke bar. You know, you don't need this. Now, why would I even risk talking about sin and all the lying and all these things? Because your life's at stake. My life's at stake. And if you don't look at it and deal with it, nothing is ever going to change. And you'll die this way. And you'll be a 70, 80, 90-year-old person if you're lucky. And you'll go, what happened? Just one big resounding, whoops. I missed it. I screwed up. What happened to my life? He who covers his sins will not prosper. And I'll come back to the second half of that verse in a minute. Listen to this one. King David. Everybody know about the story about King David? He's a man after God's own heart. The guy out on his balcony one evening, he should have been at war with his armies, looks down. You know, this lady's out taking a bath. That's not why she's called Bathsheba, but anyhow, she's out there taking a bath, and he looks. It's one thing to look, but he doesn't go back in his house. He looks again, has her called up, sends for her. He's the king. She comes. He sleeps with her. She gets pregnant. He gets nervous. He has her husband brought in from the battlefront, tries to get him to stay at home. He won't. He's trying to get her husband to sleep with her, so it looks like they got pregnant. It's not him. He's covering up. He's covering up. Uriah, her husband, won't sleep with her, stays outside the front door, goes back into battle. David has this guy killed in battle, and because he's dead, now he can take Bathsheba's wife, and it's all going to be okay. You know what? It all sounds like it's okay, but you know what? Nobody told David's heart it wasn't okay. And he lived with it day and night. Listen to Psalm 32, verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. My life dried up. My bones ached. I was turning into an old man. Now I'm going to tell you something, guys. It makes me mad when it happens to me, and it makes me mad when it happens to you, because I am sick and tired of seeing what the enemy does to people that I love. And I don't take this stuff lightly. When I see somebody that I love who's getting pummeled and beat just beyond recognition by the enemy, and he comes after you and he deceives you and he drags you back into his deal, I see this. See, the problem with church when it's working, when it's real, is I can look you in the eyes and know that basically you're in a heap of trouble. And I want you to be able to do the same thing. Not so you can punch somebody and go, ah, you're back out there living in sin again, huh? David said, it's like I feel God's hand on me. I feel God, I feel this pressure on me. I can't get out from under it. It's like He won't let me go. Why do you think people run from God? They get in some sin, they run from God. They run from church. They get away from mom, dad, anybody who will shine some light on their life and the lies they're living. They get away from. But you know what? No matter where you go, you still got you to deal with. And then they say, I can't take it anymore. So they start drinking or doing drugs or something just to numb the pain because they can't take it anymore. And then one day you find yourself somewhere like the prodigal son in Luke 15. And he came to himself, it says. Then he said, I'll arise and go to my father. And then it says he got up and went home. And I want to be a place where if I call and you don't call me back, if I send you a card and you don't respond, that you know there's a place that somebody gives a rip. And when you come to yourself and it's time to come home, you're going to get up and come home. And when you walk in the back door, the whole place will go, we're glad you're back. I don't want your bones to ache. I don't want you to feel that heaviness. I want it to stay there until you change, until I change. Because that is the kindness and the gentleness of the mercy of God that leads us to change, the Bible says. So it's an awful thing to be under, but it's an awesome thing to know God won't let you go. And it doesn't matter how far, how long you do it, He will never let you go. Another consequence. And Lord, I don't want to read this, but here we go. Romans chapter 1, and I'd recommend you go read this sometime. And I don't even know if I can read it. But let me give you the gist of Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Guys, this is some of the scariest stuff you'll ever read. You mess with the truth, and you mess with God, and He will turn you over. And there's certain things about Christianity that ought to be scary, and this is one of them. There is a right kind of fear of God. If you allow yourself to live the lie and keep going in direction and you don't talk to God, yourself, or anybody else about it, don't get some help, He will turn you over and you will get into all kind of perversion, twisted stuff that people couldn't even imagine. I'll try to read some of this. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Somebody says to me, what about all the people who have never heard of God? You know what the Bible says? They're without excuse. Because the very creation screams that there's a God. It screams that He's a God of mercy. It's a weird thing to me that the world is in color and not black and white. Little stuff like that. Animals see in black and white, and God lets me see in color. Did you know that? I get to open my eyes and see flowers and trees and the sun and the sky and unbelievable stuff. You cannot find an unmerciful God even in His creation. It screams of His love and His power and His might. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. If you don't glorify God and thank God, guys, you're going down the tubes. God, you're awesome. You're it. I acknowledge you're God, and I'm not getting away from it. And God, I thank you. I don't understand all you're doing, but I thank you. I got nowhere else to go. Keep it pointing in His direction. Professing to be wise, they became fools. How many people do I know? Oh, well, I'm not sure about this God thing, but I'm pretty smart, and I'm talented and gifted, and I'm going to figure all this out on my own. They turn into fools, it says, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. They don't worship the Creator, they worship creation. How many places on the planet today are they carving cows out and dogs and all these things and worshiping some stump instead of the God who made the stump or the dog or the cow? Therefore, verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged. Now here's your trade-off. This is the exchange you make. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And guys, it gets worse from there. Verse 26 on. And it gets into all kind of sexual perversion. I mean, it is right there in the book. You go home today and read the rest of chapter 1 of Romans and then go into chapter 2, and there's a verse in there that says that it is His kindness, it is His gentleness that leads us to repentance. And God comes along and says, Richard, man, I died to give you life. What are you doing? Why are you believing? I'm truth. I've got the answers. Why are you buying these lies day after day? They've never worked before. They haven't worked for anybody you even know. Why are we going down this path? And a friend comes along and says, Richard, what are you doing? It ain't going to work this way. You're screwing your life up. You're going to lose your marriage. You're going to lose your kids. You're going to lose this, 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 and this. Richard, what are you thinking? And then you won't listen, and then people just start praying for you. And your life, all hell breaks loose. And you end up places you thought you'd never end up, and in problems you thought you'd never have. And all of a sudden, the God of the universe, gently in your heart, says, you know what? I'm still here. I still love you. I still died for you. There's still hope. And He gently tries to bring you home. His kindness, His gentleness leads us to change our mind and say, you know what, God? You're right. I'm wrong. I'm in a heap of trouble, and I'm coming home. The benefits of the truth. Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. I tell you what busts heaven wide open is when one of God's kids cries out and says, God, I can't take it anymore. Come get me. You ever see these shows about homeless kids on TV? Street kids? These 1-800 numbers? Can you imagine being a parent and your kid has run away from home and they're out on the streets of LA and you can't find them, you have no idea if they're dead or alive, and one day the phone rings in your house and it's that daughter on the other end of the phone saying, Mama, come get me. And she tells you where she is. You know what? You'd buy a ticket no matter how much it costs and you'd get there as fast as you could, right? Confession of sin and prayer is a 1-800 come get me. And if you've had enough, you say, God, I can't live these lies anymore. I've got one life and I'm wrecking it. So you pick up that phone of prayer and you say, God, come get me. And you know what? That's what heaven lives for. All heaven breaks loose when those prayers go up. Because God says, that's the reason I sent my Son, to seek and to save those who are lost. Proverbs 3, 1 through 4, but verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You live it, guys, it'll change not only your standing with God, but with other people. Now I'm going to read you the second half of Proverbs 28:13. The first part says this, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. You know what most people today are looking for? Prosperity. Everybody wants to get rich and live forever. Jesus can handle both. But some people just want to live forever. They don't want to be rich His way. They don't want to do it His way, spiritually, not just materially. If you cover your sins, you will not prosper. I don't know how to put it in better English than that. It is not going to work out. But if you confess them and you forsake them, it's one thing to say, oh God, I'm sorry, I got caught, I'm wrong. And the problem that we're having in this country today is that someone has confessed, but you don't get the feeling there's any repentance or sorrow or desire to forsake the lifestyle. When you look somebody in the eyes, even on a TV, and they say, I'm wrong and I'm sorry, you feel it in your gut. And that's what makes so many people so furious. When you come to God, He knows the difference. I don't know what's in the man's heart, but I tell you what, God knows what's in mine and what's in yours. Now, how do you know if you've really confessed and forsaken a sin and you've found mercy? Your life will change. It's not that you ever won't struggle, you won't fall again, but guys, it gets longer and longer, farther and farther between those down times. I heard a man say this one time, whatever you cover, God will uncover. Whatever you uncover, God will cover. I am begging you, I am pleading with you to uncover before God, yourself, and anybody else that you need to, that's appropriate, whatever it is you're covering, because it's going to come out. It is going to come out. You say, well, I may never get caught here. You're going to get caught, and it is not going to be pretty. You don't want to get caught by the God of the universe. Now, why would I go through this? Why would I even talk about these things? Well, it's supposed to be an uplift, lift them up time, right? And now this is about, if you go to the doctor and he finds a lump or he finds a mole or something and he looks at you and says you're going to be dead in 6 months, but he says, I don't want to ruin their life, you know, let them live in peace for 6 more months. That'd be bad enough, but if there were treatment for it and you could do something about it and live another 50 years, you'd shoot the guy, you'd have him prosecute, you'd sue him, you'd do something. If you come in here and I don't talk to you about things that are real issues in our lives and challenge you to do something about them, you ought to go somewhere else. You don't need your ears scratched. The Bible describes it as that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about they've got to themselves, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They look for somebody to scratch their ears. Just tell me what I want to hear and send me home. That doesn't change your life. Ephesians 4:25 says this, therefore put away lying. Stop lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Don't lie to each other. Okay, I think that was pretty clear. All right. I can't improve on that, or any of this for that matter. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I don't know what you think about the president, but you know what? He ain't there by chance. He is a God-ordained official in this country, and God has him there for a reason, so you pray for him. Pray that God will have mercy on him. Why? Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It's about Jesus Christ. He desires all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
The last verse I'll read is John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you're looking for the way, it's a person. If you're looking for the truth, it's a person. And if you're looking for the life, it's a person. I am begging you, I'm encouraging you, any way you can put it, to do the right thing. Don't lie against the truth. And you know what? I can't change your life. I got no power to change your life, but I know somebody who does. And if you can't make it by yourself with him, then get some Christians around you and say, you know what? I can't do this one by myself. I need some encouragement. I need some help. I need you to hold me accountable. or I'm not going to make it. Find out what the truth is and understand that if you don't, there are consequences, not only in this life, but the life to come. And the great truth about the truth is that there are consequences, sounds negative, but there are positive consequences to doing it God's way. And that's what I hope you discover today.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.